impact today. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we're back at the Paracast, back at the old stand, or the new stand, depending on which stand you want. Last week we had a fascinating show with Stan Gordon, Pennsylvania UFO and paranormal investigator, and we made it very clear that it's not just the old sightings that are important. Compelling, very detailed, very fascinating UFO cases still occur to this very day. It's not just all about the stuff that happened 65 years ago. And then we had someone in the Paracast forums at forum.theparacast.com, and that particular member was complaining that we emphasize too much about the older cases. In my response, I said, well, we had a couple of shows on Stephenville, Texas. We did O'Hare. We've covered recent cases. But this raises a larger question, Chris O'Brien. That is, why are we so hung up on the stuff that happened all those years ago?
Well, obviously, the more compelling cases out there, Bentwaters, Roswell, Socorro, these cases, are very sensational. And I think, when you have a sensational case like the Phoenix Lights, or a case that's seen by, a number of witnesses, a group of people or large groups of people, obviously they're going to garner more attention, and people are going to be fascinated by them, not only people that are involved in the field and in the research community, but just the general public is going to get involved, and it starts a snowball of interest going down the hill. We have cases that are being reported daily around the world, and there are many good ones, too, that are being reported in other countries. I think we need to have more people that are willing to do the hard work of going out, interviewing witnesses, and actually doing the investigative work in the field to pull out more witnesses, to do the kind of legwork that needs to be done to properly document these events. And I think old cases, they gather steam as time goes by. More and more people are aware of them. Of course, the big smelly R word is the granddaddy of them all, Roswell. I applaud Kevin Randall's new effort that he started a year or so ago, putting together a team of crack researchers and investigators, and just starting from scratch with the Roswell case and treating it like a cold case, and then attempting to reinvestigate the case with a fresh pair of glasses. I think this is probably the best approach I've heard in years relating to Roswell, and I wish them all the luck. I don't know how the heck they're going to actually put aside all their preconceptions and all the amazing amount of knowledge that they already have about the case, but I do applaud the idea. I think it's a good one, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Would be very interesting here if they are able to consider some of these alternative viewpoints, and not just balloons, test balloons, but test aircraft.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a very compelling option for a lot of those early UFO cases.
Yeah, I agree. We had Joseph Farrell on the show a number of weeks back, and his contention that there's a very tantalizing body of evidence that may suggest that Roswell and other early cases from the mid to late 40s could have been actually Nazi technology from South America or from some places south of the border here that were smuggled out of Germany and perfected and made operational and were possibly responsible for some of the early waves of activity that we saw from 47 to 53. So, we need to look at all closed system possibilities before we jump off planet. I really do have a sense that, even though it's very romantic to think that we're important enough for aliens to come and visit, I have a bit of a problem with that scenario, and as many of our listeners and forum posters already know. And I think it's important that we exhaust all terrestrial possibilities before we jump off planet.
I think one of the things that we really have to consider here is the fact that such a large number of those early cases that we continue, unfortunately, to put into the category of either unexplained natural phenomena, or spaceships, and we can't look at the test aircraft scenario, especially considering back in the late 40s after World War II, we bring on board all those German scientists who were pioneers in our space program and the V-2 rocket and all that stuff, and we seldom consider, hey, wait a minute, folks, what about this test aircraft? We wouldn't have revealed what it was all about.
Right. I love the recent revelation of our secret flying saucer program that was actually Canadian, I think, the Avro saucer, that the silly footage that they have of this thing wobbling 2 feet off the ground, and they finally declassified the documents about this flying saucer project. I mean, talk about, you know, kind of thinking that the research community is dead between the ears. I mean, that to me is quite disingenuous, and I really do have a sense that the state of the art in exotic propulsion and technology is, well, light years ahead of where the government and military and aerospace companies are admitting. So I do think that's a fruitful potential avenue of research, and go a long way to explain a lot.
Well, of course, I guess sequestration, this new budget-cutting thing that's taking effect a few days after the show is aired in the U.S., where there will be severe military cutbacks, will that cut back top-secret research? No. They'll always find ways to steal money from other projects.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know that the black budget's going to be alive and well. You know, it's interesting, we do spend as much money, I think I've recently seen the figure, that we spend as much money on the military and defense as the rest of the world combined. If that's true, I think we have our priorities a little bit bass backwards.
Well, maybe, yeah. But the figure I heard was the next 10 countries combined. So therefore, Russia, China, and all these other countries, if you took the next 10 after the U.S., and took their military budgets, combined them, we spend more still. By the way, we have a special event where you'll be able to find us if you're lucky.
Yeah.
The International UFO Congress comes to Arizona at the end of the month.
Yep.
And we're going to be present and accounted for, but some fascinating things are going to happen.
Yeah, one of the people that, or actually two people that we'd like to see if we can get on the air from the Congress is the Navajo Rangers. I've had
this
the
is not the Lone Rangers. This is the Navajo Rangers.
The Navajo Rangers, exactly. They're
okay,
Navajo law enforcement investigators who have recently come out and started talking about some of the high strange cases that they've been investigating on the Navajo reservation over the years. These include, obviously, UFO sightings, Bigfoot sightings, reports of skinwalkers, and crypto creatures. These guys have some very interesting information that they're starting to share with the outside world, outside of the native reservation population there. And they're going to be down at the UFO Congress. We'd love to get them on the show, and which kind of dovetails nicely into our guest today, Artie Sixkiller Clark, who has just released a book on anomalous books that's has a bunch of really fascinating stories in it, and we're going to be going through some of these accounts with her and finding out a little bit more about her background and asking some tough questions.
I'll tell you something. I was looking over our forums at forum.thepowercast.com under Question Bank, and we have a whole area there under the title Encounters with Star People, Questions for Artie Sixkiller Clark. And there are lots of questions, and pretty tough questions, too.
Yes. Yep. Yep. It's a book that doesn't have a single person listed as a on-the-record witness. So we're going to have to kind of do a little bit of digging here to find out, you know, just kind of dig around a little bit on some of these accounts. Some of them are pretty fantastic, so this is going to be interesting. Of course, they all feature reports that come from Native Americans. Many of them are on Native American reservations, these events, and she's done quite a bit of legwork over the years compiling a lot of these stories, but then they're stories. So we're going to have to find out what her thinking is about these accounts and why she chose to use the approach that she did.
Her name, Artie Sixkiller Clark, joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com. Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast with Gene and Chris. And today we have a real special guest, who I'm really looking forward to speaking with. And Artie Sixkiller Clark is here. And we're going to be discussing Native American Star People traditions and a whole slew of reports that she's published in her recent book on anomalous books. And we're going to be talking about how difficult it is, number one, to investigate this particular realm, and especially on Native American reservations or Indian reservations. That term Native American versus Indian. You mentioned at the front of your book that that you've decided to use the term Indian. You want to explain your thinking a little bit on that? Because I guess, you know, prior to recording the show here, we were talking about this. Why don't you fill our audience in a little bit?
Well, you know, over the years, when you've been in a group of people and you describe yourself as a Native American, we always have people say, well, I'm a Native American, too, because I was born here. And a few years ago, a group of American Indian researchers came together and decided that in our writing, our research, we would refer to tribal groups in general as American Indians rather than American Indians. And we made that decision based upon the fact that Native American, the term Native American, was increasingly claimed by those who were born within the United States, regardless of their ethnicity. And one of, you know, the most well-known Lakota journalist and publisher, Tim Gallego, you know, he published Lakota Times, Indian Country Today, Native Sun News. I quote him in the book as saying that, you know, we realize that Indian is a misnomer, but for generic purposes, we are forced to use it when speaking of many different tribes. And he said, any politically correct thinker who believes Native American is the preferred identification tag for Lakota or any other tribe is wrong. Most of us do not object to the use of Indian or American Indian. And as I said, Native Americans can be used by any American native to this land. And so that's why so many of us who are researchers and writers have chosen to use American Indian. And I was frankly surprised at the angry response I got from people, because I explained that in the book why I was doing it. And it's been a standard for a number of years with Native writers to do just that, is to use the term American Indian instead of Native American.
Hence the subtitle of your book. The book is called Encounters with Star People, Untold Stories of American Indians. So right up front, you're making that that declaration. Now, Clifford Mahudi is a Zuni elder friend of mine, and he uses the term Indian very nonchalantly and considers it politically correct. So that's it's a good point. I'm a Native American. I was born here. So, you know, if you really look at the term.
And the majority of my Native friends call themselves Indians. I mean, you know, I call myself an Indian. So, you know, I'm not sure why it generated so much anger, you know, among some people, but thank you for giving me the opportunity to explain that. It is in the book, but apparently a lot of people aren't reading that.
Yeah, you can't judge a book by its cover. And if you use the term American Indians, that can, I guess, tweak certain people's politically correct sort of view on Indigenous American culture or Indian culture. And I think the term obviously was ascribed to Native peoples when the Europeans first arrived, because they were looking for the Spice Islands, and they thought that they had arrived in Asia.
When I speak too, I use Native and Indian interchangeably. You know, I mean, I just do that, you know, out of just the way I was raised, you know, and my friends. But for a book, I wanted to make that distinction, and that's why I did it.
Okay, well, let's move on now that we've kind of got our terms sort of defined here a little bit, and we understand why you've chosen this particular term, and it's important to make the distinction. Why don't you give us a little background about yourself, your education, where you went to school. Of course, you were a professor emeritus at Montana State University. Give us a sense of your background. What is your doctorate in?
My doctorate is in educational leadership, and I was the director of the Center for Bilingual Multicultural Education and a professor of educational leadership at Montana State University. But my background also, I have degrees in psychology, history, and English. So, you know, through the years, I've played many roles in education, because I've been a high school English teacher, I've been a administrator, I've been a psychologist, and when I came to MSU, I became a a professor of educational leadership and the director of the Center for Bilingual Multicultural Education. And my role there was not only to write grants to get funding for Native programs, but to go out into the field and to recruit Native students to come to Montana State University and to study to become teachers, principals, or superintendents, because back when I first came to Montana State University, you could hardly find an American Indian teacher on any of the reservations, and if you did, it was only one or two. So our goal is to help Native people become teachers, and by doing that, I wrote federal grants to get money for scholarships so they could afford to come to school. And so that's the reason why I was off campus out, you know, recruiting students. And that's where I heard many of these stories.
Yeah. And we're going to get to those stories, obviously, here in depth. One of the things I think we should point out is that American Indian, the educational system, was completely appropriated by the United States government. And students were taken and put into Indian schools for decades, and in many cases,
run by the Catholic Church for most part.
Well, yes, run by the church and by the government, and
by the BIA, right?
Well, one thing people should understand is many of these programs gave a rather skewed, propagandized, for lack of a better term, history of the culture that these kids were coming from.
Well, one of our goals at Montana State University was to try to get teachers and leaders into the school system who were American Indian so that the children would have role models, that somebody looked like them, had gone to college and had succeeded. And we succeeded in doing that. I mean, over the years I spent at Montana State University, I had over, I would say, at least 500 students get bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees through scholarship funding that I was able to obtain through grant writing from the federal government.
And it must be fun these days, and I'm saying that sarcastically, to get anything from the federal government, what with all the cutbacks, and we were mentioning that earlier. We've got to do this break right now, Artie. We have Dr. Artie Sixkiller Clark joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey neighbors, got a small business or a large company that needs to be online 24/7? Well, here's the little secret. To make sure your site is always online, you need world-class DNS service from Dyn. That's D-Y-N. For years, Dyn has been helping companies ranging from the scrappy young startup to the giant media moguls of the world with making sure websites are fast and always available and that your emails are getting delivered. D-Y-N. Get faster internet by using Dyn for DNS. Visit dyn.com/podcast30. Fill out the contact form or start shopping right away and save 30% by using the promo code podcast30 at checkout. Again, visit dyn.com, that's dyn.com/podcast30. Check them out today.
Are you always 5 minutes late? Maybe you're only late when you don't want to be somewhere. Then you realize you're always 5 minutes late. For work, you set 3 alarms, drag your feet in the shower, drink your coffee slowly until you're rushing out the door. 5 minutes late. It's not that you hate your job. Hate is such a strong word. You're just not that excited about it. But most people don't love what they do, right? Listen, if you're local to the Twin Cities and Burnsville, are hardworking, self-driven, with experience in sales, marketing, or advertising, are personable, and a whiz on the phone, you might want to join one of the largest independent talk radio networks in the world, GCN. Because right now, we are hiring, and we offer benefits. Experience preferred, but we'll train the right person. Is that you? Submit your resume today to advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com. Come work with the Genesis Communications Network, where you'll want to be 5 minutes early every day.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have Artie Six Killer Clark joining Jean and Chris on the Paracast. Her latest title for Anomalous Books is Encounters with Star People, subtitled Untold Stories of American Indians. And there's so much ground to cover that Chris and I want to get into it, getting past this thing. But I raised the political question, Artie, before we did the break, and that is about getting grants in this day and age where it seems the government is hostile to education. How do you survive?
Well, of course, I've been retired now for 6 years, so, you know, I'm not out there in that arena competing for those federal dollars. I'm not sure if there are any programs today that are available. I know that there are a few, but probably not to the extent they were available when I was working in the field. Because I would, you know, there were times that I had as many as 100 students that were on scholarship going to Montana State. And one of the interesting things would be, I had a scholarship program for secondary teachers for math and science. And I went out and recruited because we didn't have any math and science teachers on the reservations who were native. And I went out recruiting students, and I got some excellent students. And out of the group, 60% of them left the teaching field when they discovered they could make it in math and science at a university level, and they became engineers and scientists and did all those sorts of things because they realized that there was a whole world out there where they could use the skills they had, and it never, so we lost some great teachers there, but at least they are out there working in the field.
Let's move to the book. Now, how did you come to begin to explore so-called mysteries involving star people? Why take these stories seriously as something more than folklore?
Well, you know, my first encounter when I came to Montana State University with this subject was I had been out on a recruiting trip, and the gentleman who helped me on his reservation, after I met with a group of students, and he and I had dinner, and he said to me, he said, you know, if you've got some time, I'd like to show you something. And so he took me up in the mountains above his village, and we sat on a rock, and he pulled out a binoculars, and he says, if we're lucky, they'll come. And I said, who? And he said, well, the star people, the ancestors. And I sat there and listened, and we watched, and they didn't come. But he said that he frequently came to this site and watched the skies and waited for them to come. And so it occurred to me that if this was something that this tribal group believed, perhaps there were others. So I came back to the university, and I was talking to another a Native faculty member, and he said, well, yes. He said, we have many stories about the stars and the star people visiting us in ancient times. And so he started telling me the old legends. So I thought, well, you know, as I traveled around and I would have free time, I would simply ask people, do you know any USO stories, or do you know of anyone who's had experiences? And people started opening up. And over the years, you know, people got to know me really well and came forth and started telling me stories that had happened to them. As far as authenticity or truthfulness, I never doubted the stories that I was told. I don't know. I believe that I can tell the difference between somebody who's sincere and somebody who's lying. I have a pretty good read on people. And I walked with these people, and I talked with these people, and I believe their stories.
Okay, and that, of course, raises the big quandary here is, how do we take these stories and find any evidence for them, or is it possible, or is all the evidence based on the testimony?
I think the evidence is based on their testimony, because I made a commitment to them when they told me the stories that I would not reveal where it happened or who they were. And I have tried to be very careful about that, because none of them were seeking fame. None of them wanted money. None of them wanted people coming to their reservation and looking for proof, because they just didn't want that to happen. And I respected that. I wrote the stories as they told me. And I know, you know, I'm a social scientist. I listen to stories and to people, and I record what they tell me. I'm not a hard scientist that has to have, physical evidence. And so that's the only explanation I can give you. I believe the people.
Let's look at some of the stories here, because there's some fascinating tales, and so many of them remind us of things that are common in the UFO field. And I'm considering, for example, chapter one of your book. The title is Missing Time, which, of course, is something that is generally considered to relate to UFO abductions. So
right.
In writing a chapter on missing time, is that what you were talking about?
Well, yes. I mean, that's exactly what happened to this couple, is that they lost time and not remembering anything that had happened to them. They came upon, if you'll recall, they came upon a place where there was cattle mutilation. And the man, being a police officer, gets out to investigate and then finds no evidence that it was the act of vandals or rustlers or thieves. Instead, he finds very meticulous, like surgery or operations on these animals. He finds no footprints, no evidence. The animals were in relatively tall grass around them, no place where the grass had been disturbed, other than where these animals were. And so he gets back in his car, and that's when he and his wife see the UFO. And then they lose time when they don't realize it until they get to their destination. They drive to their destination and suddenly discover that they have lost several hours of time.
Now, without going into details that you can't reveal because of the promise not to identify these people, can you give us an approximation of when it happened and where?
Well, I'll tell you, it happened in Montana, and it happened, I would say, within 5 years.
Okay. So it's a recent case.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now, as far as the missing time is concerned, has anything been done to recover the memories that you can tell us about our listeners?
No. No. Nothing. And the people I talked to weren't interested in that. Because they, for most of the encounters, most of the people had a clear perception of what happened. This couple knew what happened. They just didn't know what happened during that period of time when they that was missing. They were fully aware of seeing the mutilated cattle. They were. And the interesting thing of it was that when they got ready the cattle became missing again. These individuals aren't interested in submitting to a psychologist or some kind of regression or whatever.
We have Artie Six Killer Clark joining us this week, and she has a fascinating book called Encounters with Star People. And this is not stuff that happened necessarily 2,000 years ago, but very recently, some of this stuff. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Now there's an amazing new natural antibiotic every person must have.
It's Cells Alive Silver Solution, and it destroys over 650 hard-to-kill viruses, fungus, bacteria, and much more. Cells Alive Silver Solution has no expiration date, is great for emergency kits and storage shelters, and comes in 8 or 16-ounce bottles. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Hempusa.org, 100% chemical-free superfoods and unique health products.
We the people
people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast, we have Artie Six Killer Clark. We're talking about the Star People, but just encounters of a long time ago, but encounters that are quite recent and quite relevant to UFO research. Now, these people, are you able to tell us roughly what line of business they're in or anything about their background, or you'd rather not?
You mean the individuals who I interviewed? You mean the individuals with missing time?
Yes.
One was a police officer and the other one was a teacher.
Okay. Regular people.
Oh, very reputable people, right.
Regular and reputable.
Right.
And they're not looking for publicity, which is very important. They're not looking to sell a story. They're not looking to go before the International UFO Congress and do a series of lectures.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I'm kind of scratching my head here, thinking about the discovery of what appears to be a mutilated head of livestock. And then in the same sort of event, they see what they perceived as some sort of unidentified flying object. Did you get more descriptions of the object from them? Did it maneuver? How close did it get to them? Are there any more details that we have about this particular sighting?
You know, they talked about seeing the craft, but it was such a bright light hovering over them that they had no, they were unable to describe it because I asked them that. She discovers that her cell phone isn't working because she's trying to call her brother because their vehicle won't start. They're trying to get out of there and their vehicle won't start. So she's trying to call her brother because she thinks, you know, if I can get a hold of him, he's just going to drive out here and get us out of here. And then that's the last thing they remember, you know,
So essentially, what they're describing is a bright light. We don't really know if it's some sort of what appears to be some sort of extraterrestrial ship or something. It could have been possibly a silent helicopter pulsing down some sort of electromagnetic beam to maybe render the engine ignition inert or something. So they don't have any recollection of any details of the actual object that was shining this bright light on them. Is that correct?
That is correct. But on the other hand, how many times have you heard of helicopters mutilating cattle?
Hundreds of times they've been sighted.
That's the story I reported.
Yeah, we have over 300 cases of helicopters being sighted in and around mutilation sites since the early 70s. The father of mutology, if you want to, I wouldn't want that term applied to me, but Tom Adams, who's been investigating who investigated these cases from 1970 to 2000, compiled 250 reports of helicopter sightings in and around mutilation sites. And since then, there's been, you know, the book ended in the late 80s, and during the 90s, we had a whole slew of other reports that were filed. So helicopters have been seen in conjunction with these cases, not directly involved except for a couple of rare cases where animals were seen slung underneath helicopters being ferried somewhere. We've also had evidence of skid marks from helicopters setting down in fields where cattle have been discovered in mutilated condition. We've also had the type of downdraft evidence, flipped over cow pies, grass and other plants flattened from wind. So it's interesting. This guy was a law enforcement official, so you would think that he would be, being a trained observer, that he would be fairly accurate in his, his what if sort of scenarios. So,
at the same time, as you can see, I'm not very well versed in ufology because I wasn't aware of that, and probably he wasn't either, because he assumed that it was a UFO, so that's the only answer I can give you.
Yeah, in the mid-70s, in Cascade County.
My approach was not to argue with these people, not to doubt these people, to record their stories. That's what I did.
Let me ask you a question, though. In talking to these people, did you ever get the impression that some of them, maybe a very few, were just telling stories and not relating actual encounters of one sort or another?
Not the group that were in the book.
So that's saying that some didn't make it to the book for another reason.
Well, I interviewed over 900 people. And, I have interviews of over 900 people. And some of them, the stories were just typical. I saw this UFO in the sky, and it zipped across, and it did this, and it did that, and those were not. But, I don't know if it was something they saw or not, but it didn't merit going into the book.
But what about people who told you a story and you wondered, maybe this wasn't what they thought it was, or they're telling me a story?
I never thought anybody was telling me a story.
Okay, just wanted to check into that.
Yeah, never thought that way.
I'm curious as to where did the majority of these stories originate? Which particular part of the country? I know you traveled extensively through the time period where you were compiling all these interviews and stories. Did you see any sort of correlation between location, between a particular reservation or part of the country? Was it pretty evenly distributed in terms of these accounts, or did you see centers of activity or hotspot areas?
I'm trying to think. I don't believe so. I traveled all over the country. I saw more in the West. More stories came out of the West, but of course I live in the West and frequented the Western reservations more. The more isolated a reservation was, the more likely there were stories.
That's interesting. So the more remote locations,
right,
tended to generate more.
The more remote
of these,
the individuals in remote sections they lived in. You go to Montana and South Dakota and North Dakota and some of the states out here in the West, and even Arizona. You're talking about reservations that are so isolated and so remote, especially some of the people who live there.
Right.
That it's just you could understand why these encounters would happen in places like that.
Yeah, 60 miles to the nearest grocery store or convenient mart.
Well, and if you could find a convenient mart on a reservation, you know, it's some of the, you know, the reservations are in remote sections of the states anyway. I mean, they're not in the areas where there's lots of people because the government didn't place Indian reservations on desirable land. They replaced them in remote areas away from population centers.
Yeah.
And so the areas that I visited, many of them are very remote. And many of them I had to drive for miles. And, you know, when I'd hear somebody had a story to tell, and sometimes I would come upon a story that I wasn't even expecting.
Yeah, oftentimes those are the best ones I've found.
I know.
Yep, the ones that just happen along, you know, some maybe a neighbor's there and you're interviewing one person and the neighbor goes, "Wow, you think that's cool? Wait till you hear this one." I've had that happen
Leland
a number of times.
Well, Leland was an example of that. I went there to buy a drum, and then he begins to tell me the story about this craft that hovers over his property and lowers an automobile with these people that look like humans, but he doesn't believe they are humans, and he thinks that, you know, and then his story was later corroborated by a friend of his that had seen the same thing happen on the property.
I'm going to ask you, by the way, just silly question. When we get back after our break, what kind of automobile or automobiles were dropped? We have Hardy Six Killer Clark joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.